Well, this morning I want to talk to you about cave spelunking with Jesus, going in the cave. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to get open to John chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at doing some spelunking. I've done some spelunking in my time. I enjoy going into caves. In the 1940s, a missionary was actually in the Sierra Madres in Monterrey, the center part of Mexico, and he fell in a hole and discovered some incredible caves. And they went on for miles, and he researched them. He's given credit. And I remember being on a mission trip down there doing some work in the governor's mansion. And they took us up to these mountains. Well, we were in the mountains, but further up in the mountains, and they took us in these caves. It was incredible spelunking through these caves, not rock throwing in water, but rather spelunking through these caves, exploring them. When we were in Tennessee, as Casey shared, we got a chance to go in to what has in the North America the largest. It was in the world. It's now the second. They discovered another one in Africa. But it was the largest underground lake in a cave around. And we got to go in there, and it was an incredible thing. I love adventure and finding treasures. You know, you go in there and you just think there's got to be something great in these things. And we went mountain biking after we got back from whitewatering. And as we're up in the mountains in the Cherokee National Forest, we're making our way up through these trails, and we stopped, and our guide, she showed us this cave, and she said that cave right there was one of the original gold rush finds, why they kicked the Cherokees out of this area and sent them to Oklahoma. And that was the beginning of what's known as the Trail of Tears, because as they relocated the Cherokees to a wonderful, beautiful condo in Oklahoma, they said, "You'll take the iron horse, the train." And they said, "No, we won't. We'll walk." Because the government came in behind the gold miners and they got the military behind them and said, "You're out of here." Well, through all the politics, the Cherokees walked to Oklahoma, and over 10,000 Cherokees died on that walk, and it's known as the Trail of Tears. We were there where it began. Very historical. Beautiful, beautiful place. And so we stood at the entrance of one of the original first caves that got this whole thing going. We were at the creek, Coker Creek, where it all began. But this cave was dug out. And the person who had that cave made sure that it had a secret entrance. It had a big rock over it so that other people couldn't find it. And then it had a very narrow opening. As we're sitting there on our mountain bikes, I thought, "Wow, that's neat." I got off my bike and I walked over to it. I wanted to go into the cave. Because what guy doesn't want to go explore, or anybody, to go explore? Maybe you wouldn't. And I asked the gal who was leading the mountain bikes, I said, "Have you ever been in that cave?" And she said, "Yeah." And I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be gold still in there somewhere. There's gold all over them hills. And she said, "Oh, yeah, I went in there one time." I said, "Did you find some?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." I said, "You found some gold?" And she says, "No, I found a bear hibernating." Not exactly what you're looking for in the cave. But she found the bear hibernating, and out she came, and she went flying out of there about as quick as she could. So she came flying out of that cave, and she went running, and I thought, that would be neat. And you know, the bear actually made it a little more intriguing. I wanted to go in even all the more. I've never seen a bear live, sleeping or not sleeping, in a cave. So you got to get past the rock, you got to get past the bear to find the gold in that cave. Spelunking. I have to tell you, though, the greatest cave I ever found, I was 19 years old, and I stumbled on it. And as I came upon this cave, I wasn't sure I wanted to go in, but a friend of mine told me about it, so I had to. As I got to the entrance of the cave, I stood there for a minute, and when he described what was inside, I said, "I'm in." And he invited me. He says, "Go on in, Mitch." And so with everything that was in me, I mustered up. I went into this cave. I want to describe it to you, because if you ever get a chance, maybe you'll want to go into this cave too. And I'll tell you where it's at in just a second. But there I stood at the entrance of this cave, and he described it to me, and what he described wasn't even close to what was actually inside. I mean, I can only describe to you what I know about the cave because I've been in it. And what I'm going to tell you is nothing, nothing compared to what you would see if you were there personally. As I entered into the cave, I was surprised, one, how small the opening was. I wasn't sure if I was going to fit into the cave. That's always a big issue when you look at the opening. But as I got through and as I came through, I was very surprised how large it was, because with such a small opening, don't you think that it would just be this itty-bitty crawl space? But as I got inside, I was amazed how much room was in there. In fact, you could take, I mean, a lot of folks could fit in this thing. As I got inside, I found an amazing thing. It was like an oasis inside. Waterfalls coming down out of the walls. Almost like it was coming right out of the sky, and as high as you could possibly imagine. As I made my way through it more and more, I found other people who had crawled into the cave and were there before me, and I began to talk to them too. And I was so amazed at what I saw, I can hardly even describe it. And as I was talking to these people, I said, "What's inside?" And people began to, that were there, had been in it, began to describe all the things inside. They said, "You could go on forever this way and this way and this way." And more than that, what you see in these waterfalls and this picturesque river that's running through here, and there were trees and plants and flowers that grow in this thing. And I don't know where the sun got into this thing, but it was as though it was daylight. And then they began to tell me, "And you don't have to worry about falling down, because you'll never get hurt and you'll never get sick." And they said, "In fact, if you eat in these trees, this fruit, it's a fruit taste like nothing you've ever bitten into. You've got to try every single piece of fruit on these trees. It is the most succulent taste you've ever had on the palates of your tongue." And as I began making my way through, then they began describing that you'll never get sick and you'll never cry and you'll never die. You see, at 19, I entered into a cave. I walked into a place called Salvation. I stood at that entrance. I was surprised how narrow it was. But once I got inside, I was amazed at how large and how wonderful and how awesome it was. And I can try to describe to you at the age of 19 how great it was when I entered into this. But I can never do it justice, because heaven only awaits, where there's no more tears, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no pain, and everything you could ever imagine that God has ever created for the wonder and the awe of mankind, that He spent His entire eternity preparing for those. In fact, the Bible says, "No ear has heard, no eye has seen what God has prepared for those who love Him." I can't even describe to you, but I entered into that cave. Now, I know where that cave is, and I'm going to tell you where it's at. But I have to ask you to do me a favor. If I tell you where it's at and you go there, will you promise not to tell anybody ever about this cave? You know, as a church, it's amazing in our world that there is such a place. And yet the church has this map on how to find that place. And you know what we've done? We've taken this beautiful secret, this map, this hidden treasure, and we've built walls up around it. And we gather together on Sundays all over the world around this, and we talk about it as a group. And then it's almost like a secret society. We leave, and then on Monday through Saturday, don't speak about it. Someone else may find it. And I want you to know that it is the most incredible place on this earth to find salvation, because it's as close as heaven can be without being in heaven. Now, I know we have sickness and I know we have tears, but folks, I also know that we have an altar full of people who are praying that God would take them to that cave once again. They just want to crawl inside and say, "God, look how wonderful and awesome you are." And I want you to know that Jesus invites you to a cave this morning, and He invited some people to a cave, and it's found in John chapter 11. Won't we go take a look in the cave and see what He talks about? It says in John chapter 11, verse 38, "And Jesus once more deeply," what was He? Help me, what was He? He was moved. And what did He do? He came to a tomb. The word is cave. It was a cave with a stone in it. And I want you to know, Jesus invites us to a cave this morning. He invites us to come in with Him. He wants us to join Him. He is so deeply moved by your life. All the prayers here this morning, listen, I don't know what you were praying for. You might have been praying for a husband or a wife. You might have been praying for your kids. You might have been praying for health. You might be praying for a job. You might just simply be praying, "God, I can't go another day." Now, all you know, God says, Jesus is deeply moved by you this morning. And he invites you to come into a cave with him. And let's see, because there's a couple things. If you're going to go into the cave with God, there's a couple things that we're going to have to understand. Why can't everybody go to this cave? Why don't we all just kind of crawl in to this cave? Well, the first thing that we learn when Jesus invites people to this cave, what does he say? Take. He says he came to this tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And the first thing Jesus said is, take away the stone. That's what we need to do this morning. Number one, if you want to know in your life how to get into this cave that I was describing to you, that Jesus is inviting you to, you got to take away the stones in your life. We have stones in our lives. We have stones. Why can't everybody simply see Jesus for who he is? Why can't we not see the power of God? Why can't God just raise another dead person? Why can't God raise a situation in my life that is so beyond help? Why can't God take care of this? I think it's because we have stones in our lives. We have things at the entrance that keep us from entering in with Jesus to what he wants for our lives. What are the stones? Well, he tells us what these stones are. Look at verse 32, if you go back in the story. Mary got up, she runs to Jesus, her brother is dead. And at verse 32 says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's a stone in her life. If you had been here, let me ask a question, and it's rhetorical. Did Jesus really need to physically be there for her brother not to die? Could he not have just spoken the words and 1,000 miles away? Can you not pray today in this place and have God move somewhere else? Well, so much for the rhetorical. Good for you. If you want to start getting the hankies out, we're going to get going here. God can move the stones in our lives, and he doesn't have to be there to do it. So what is the stone in Mary's life? Here's the stone in Mary's life. It's the stone of fear. There's a lot of people who have fear in their lives. It is amazing how people have fear about God. Here's the fear. I don't know if I pray if God will really hear me. I don't know if God can really do it. When I was in college, we always studied these oxymorons about religion. One was, can God make a stone so large that he cannot move it? Well, he can make a stone that big, but God's big enough that he can move any stone. It's kind of the idea of, did Eve have a belly button? You know, those kind of rhetorical non-oxymorons that you'll just never get the answer for till you get to heaven. Some of you are puzzled on that one. We're just going to move on. Can God make a stone so large? Is there a stone large enough on this planet in your life that God can't move? And the answer is no. God can move anything in your life, and he does move anything in our lives. But for Mary, as she's standing there, she sees Jesus. He finally gets there, and she looks and she says, if you'd only been here. And that's a fear. Somehow, God, you have to work my way. I don't understand your way. And how many times in your life, I think about that in our community right now. Even hearing this week, I say, Lord, I don't understand 900 jobs in Marysville just like that. I don't understand 30 jobs down in Port Huron just like that. I don't understand this, God. I don't understand higher tax. I don't understand these things. I don't have to understand those things. Fear in our lives will put a stone from us entering into to see what God wants in our lives. If you have fear in your life, fear is not of God, by the way. Fear is not of God. Now understand, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. We're talking about two different types of fear. We're talking one is a reverence, an awe for who God is. Another one is to walk around going, I just can't do this. Oh, do you see the economy? Do you see my life? Do you see my marriage? Do you see my kids? And the Bible says you are not to see those things. You're supposed to move the stone out of your life and see Jesus in your life. Walk in with him. That's what he wants you to do. The second one, another stone that's in people's lives, is found in verse 37. Look at what the people said. But some of them said, couldn't he do this? Isn't that what it says? It's doubt. Doubt is a stone in people's life. You stand there, you ever talk to someone and you try to tell them about God and they go, I doubt that. Oh, heaven's real. I doubt that. You're going to die someday. Okay. Doubt. Could this really be real? Well, you know, God wrote this book. I doubt that. You know, God created humans in His own image. Well, I doubt that. Doubt is a huge stone in our world. And we live it, and these guys said it. They said, couldn't He do this? Isn't He supposed to? You know, that's what people start doing. When you start talking about your religion, first thing people start doing, well, if God is God, then why is He letting all this stuff happen in the world? I doubt that He's God. Do you really want to know? Let's get the stone out and let's walk into the cave together and let me show you the glory of God. And that's what God does. He says, come on in. So what does the Bible say? Look at verse 40. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see what? The glory of God. How many of you have ever seen the glory of God in your life? Ever in your life? The glory of God. Why? Because you walked in a cave one time. You walked in with Jesus in a situation. You had to maybe move some doubt. You maybe had to move some fear. And then you walked in and all of a sudden God did something in your life. And you did not see it coming. But He did it. God will reveal the glory in your life because He wants to. It says right here, He has to. It is His purpose. It is His desire. It is everything within Him. He wants to show you His glory. And most of us stand back and we look at the stone instead of removing it and walking into God's glory. These guys are standing there at this cave. And Jesus says, come on in. I can't go in. Why? Doubt. I can't go in. Why? Fear. I can't go in. Why? Expectations. You ever have this? Look at verse 39. Verse 39, I love this. It says, but Lord, said Martha, this is the other sister. She says, by this time there's a bad odor. For He's been in there for 4 days. How do you know that? You haven't gone in. She has an expectation that He stinks. And you know, that is one of the largest reasons why, biggest reasons why people will not go in to the cave with God. They won't enter in because of their expectation. Well, I know once I get in there what everybody's going to do. It's going to be a bunch of do's and don'ts, boring, 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 boring. It stinks. And people think church stinks. They do. There's a bad odor about church. Why should I go to church? I've seen people who go to church. And there's a bad odor. I'm not just preaching. This is true. You know this is true. It is so true. And I say, you know what? Praise God if there's some bad odor, but God's going to take the dead man and He's going to make him alive. I'm glad you're in the cave. Welcome to Christianity. It's what it is. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, dead, and stinking, and give it new life. No wonder why Paul said, to some you are the aroma of death, and to others, you are the aroma of life. Which are you today? And I say, be the aroma of life. That's a good word. That's my hanky. Finally, here's a rock to get out of your way. Look at verse 47 and 48. Jesus raises a dead man, and here's a stone that you'll have to deal with today, why people don't go in the cave. Verses 48, this is the Pharisees, and they say, well, in verse 47, the chief priests, the Pharisees, called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. They called a board meeting. Don't you love that? What should we do? We should have a board meeting. And here's what they did. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here's a man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. People are going to go in the cave. People are going to go see that the dead men rise. They're going to see that Jesus can raise dead people. He raised me at 19. I went into a cave and I was dead. And He says, instead of Lazarus, He said, Mitch, come out. And I walked in dead and I walked out alive. And people saw that in my life and they went, you got saved? Long-haired hippie freak smoking dope, just you got saved? Yes, I did. Okay, who did this? Hey, let's remove the rock of religion. And let me show you Jesus Christ, because this is a big stone right here. And religion keeps a lot of folks out of church. These are the teachers. These are the preachers. These are the prophets. These are the people who call the board meetings when things don't go the way they're supposed to go. Well, you can't do that. Why? Because that's not the way church happens. We're in charge, not Jesus. Exactly. When Jesus is in charge, look out, folks. You're going to see the glory of God. That's, I got to get me a hanky. There you go, my Methodist sister. That a girl. Here it is. Remove the stones. And when you remove the stones, here's what you get to do. You get to walk in the cave. Once you get in the cave, you know what the first thing you do in a big cave? Hello! You echo. You have to echo. And here's what you echo. You echo God's word. That's what Jesus did. He stepped into a cave. He's like a kid. I can relate to Jesus. Can anybody relate to this? He walks in. Lazarus is in there. He didn't go in and go, hey, psst, wake up. No, he got into the cave and he said, and it says right there in verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus said in a what voice? A loud voice. Jesus could do this to you. He can wake you up in your sleep with a whisper. Jesus could do this. There you go. That's what happens when I put John in charge of the sound system. He put me in a cave. Thank you, sir. That's what he did. He could have went in and go, psst, wake up. But he didn't. You know what he did? He said, Lazarus! I think he did it so everybody else could hear. And I could see it just hitting that back wall. Lazarus, 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 Lazarus. And it hit the front opening where everybody was standing. Lazarus! And everybody's like, wow! Can I do that? He screamed in a loud voice, because when you walk in the cave, we should all echo God's word ourselves. When you hear it, hey, 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 we ought to echo God's word in our lives. He wants us to enter into the cave and then go repeat everything that he said. That's pretty good news. You mean when I come out of that cave, I ought to go tell people what's echoing for centuries across nations and continents for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ raises the dead. That's what I want to tell you. I was dead in my sins and God raised me to new life. I baptized 11 people, Pastor Kevin and I did, last Sunday, out in the lake. What a beautiful setting. People who were dead in their sins, who are now alive in Christ. They were in a cave. And God brought them out of that cave and said, you're alive. Now go echo it to the world. Go tell people. Be an echo. That's what we ought to be in our lives. We ought to echo the very words of God. I was reading in my devotions this week the book of Ezekiel. Man, was he an echo. In fact, I'm going to go back in my Bible and tell you, in the book of Ezekiel, it says, I don't even know how many times it says this. But I was just reading through, and I made notes years ago when I read it. And so this week when I was reading through Ezekiel, it amazed me. I kept thinking, why do I have these check marks in my Bible? Just check marks everywhere through Ezekiel. I don't even know how many times to even count them. They're so numerous. And here's what it says. At one end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. And then it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me. And then it says again, the word of the Lord came to me. And I just keep turning the pages. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me on the bottom here. Oh, on this side, the word of the Lord, it came to me. The word of the Lord came to me over and over and over. And I just keep turning the pages going, oh, I remember. I remember why I did that. I was amazed that the word of the Lord came to him that many times. The word of the Lord, it came to me. And I just repeat it over and over and over. You know why? Because I want you to know where the cave is. I want you to know where the cave is. And so Ron Bomarito, thank you for being a part of Grace Ministry Center. And the Bible says in Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I implore you to entrust to reliable men what you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust it to reliable men. Who will in turn entrust it to reliable men? Echo, echo, echo. And I trust you. I trust you with this word. This secret, this incredible thing that can tell you how to get to the cave, that God says, look at this. What an incredible word. What a truth. What an amazing thing. Who can I trust to carry this honestly and faithfully? I trust you. And then he makes his way down and says, Kevin, I trust you with this word. Thank you for being a part of grace. I trust you with this word. Now take it in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust this to other reliable men. I trust you with this. Now take it to other reliable men. And on, Lori, I trust you with this word. And on, Casey, I trust you with this word. And on. It's an echo. Do you hear it? It's echoing from here and out and into the community. And what's the message? Hey, don't give up. It ain't over. And it's not even over when the fat lady sings. Because it ain't over ever. When it's God, it ain't ever over. Know this, no matter how bad the situation looks, it ain't ever over. Because God can raise your dead situation. Echo that to the world. I'm an echo. I love caves. Because you can echo and it will go and go and go. Echo this message to the world. God says, I trust you. Here, you know where the cave is. Go tell people. Let them come and climb in too. Let them see the hope and the salvation. Let God raise them too from the dead. Join us in the cave. And Lazarus, what did he echo? He comes out of the cave. He hears, could you imagine? Lazarus! You've got to be kidding me. And then he says, come out. Now that's the part that most people look at and go, oh, great miracle. Dead man. No, not a great miracle. Not for Lazarus. For Mary, yeah. For Martha, yeah. For these guys standing at the cave going, can he do it? Sure. For you and I to hear it 2,000 years later, it's great. Lazarus, come out from what? Heaven? He was in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present. You're done. Lazarus, come on back. To what? What did Lazarus die of? We don't know, do we? The Bible does not tell you and I what Lazarus died of. He certainly wasn't hit by a train. Did he get leprosy? Cancer? Did he go through cirrhosis of the liver? Did he die an agonizing death? Was he coughing up blood? Or did he just die suddenly of a heart attack? What did Lazarus die of? I don't know, but he's dead. And Jesus didn't have time to get there before he died. Whatever it was, he's dead. And it took him a few days to die. And it wasn't a good thing. And he comes back from all of heaven and the beauty and everything in the presence of God himself. And there's Lazarus dancing around and he hears his name. And he's thinking to himself, what? Come here. You've got to be kidding me. And he's saying, I could just see him turning, going to an angel. What's going on? The King of Kings is calling you. That's all you need to know. What does that mean? Poof, gone. Oh, no. He's back in his body. In his body that his sister says probably stinks. And so now he's in his body and he comes out. Now you say that's great. And I suppose for us humanly, that's fantastic. If we don't understand what God's purpose is, God's purpose isn't just so that we can live here and survive here and have a life as best we can in a fallen state. But his purpose is that death, the final enemy, would be destroyed in our lives. That is his purpose. And Lazarus has fought his last fight and he won. Now he's got to come back and fight it one more time. You know, Lazarus has to die again. I don't know about you. I don't want to do it once. I definitely don't want to do it twice. And Lazarus is back to go through it again. As much as he's excited to see his family, I guarantee you he's going to be echoing some stories. What did you see? Oh, let me tell you what I saw. No wonder why a couple years later the disciples are all dying for their faith. And they're like, go ahead, whip me again. Put me to death. Throw me to the lions. Are you kidding me? I was at the cave. I've been in the cave. I heard the echo. I know what's waiting. So do your best. I can't wait. Folks, when you have an understanding of what God has for you in your life, this life cannot ultimately drag you down. because God is going to lift you up. So echo. And then finally this, uncover the treasure. The Bible says that when he had done this and he said, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth. And Jesus said, take off the dead man's clothes. Get rid of the grave clothes. And so here it is. Once you step in and you start echoing, here's the last thing when you go in the cave. Find the treasure. Find the treasure. Don't go into the cave and come out and go, well, that was good. And walk out. What was it all about? I don't know. I was in the cave. How was it? It was good. What'd you see? I don't know. Don't do that. That's like going to church. How was church? It was great. What'd you do? I don't know. How was it? Couldn't tell you. What'd he talk about? Don't know. Don't go in the cave and then come out empty-handed. Don't go into the Word of God. Did you have your devotion? Oh, man, I got in the Word of God today. I was in there for 20, 30 minutes. I just sitting on my back porch, and I was reading. Well, what'd you read? I don't know. What did God say to you? I don't know. Don't go in the cave without hearing the echo. The Word of the Lord came to me again. And then when you get it, don't just think it's a pile of dirt. This is from Casey Schlager on the way home. He says, Pastor, when we did that whole gold panning thing, they gave us these bags and they gave us the boards with the screens at the bottom and the water and down by the creek. We were up at this thing that they built with the water going through right by the creek, and we're sifting it, and out come these jewels. He said, it's not just a bag of dirt. There's some jewels in there. There's some treasure. And so I brought, this is actually what I got from Coker Creek. These are actually my things. I've got a big thing. Can you see that shine in there? Gold. My daughter says, Dad, we're rich. I said, yeah, it's pyrite. It's fool's gold. Got some fool's gold. Actually, I mean, this is just actual stuff in there. I found these beautiful crystals. Just absolutely gorgeous. But what really, 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 really got me excited about this treasure. Oh, man. I actually did find a little bit of gold in there, too. But, I mean, we got these beautiful gold, like onyx-type things, and I can't even describe all of them. I'm not sure what's in this one, but they said take it home and work it and maybe take it to someone. And so, Dee, I'm going to bring this over to the office at your jewelry store, and I'm sure it's worth at least $5,000. But I'll give it to you for three. What was really neat were these emeralds. This is an emerald. This is actually an emerald. I pulled that out. I've got about four or five of these. And I thought, I was so excited. Until, as I'm doing this, I look over and sitting in the wheelchair next to me, Steve Webb, and he's just going through this stuff. He pulled an emerald out about that big. I said, look at that. And the guy doing it, he goes, I've never seen an emerald that large. I mean, there's just so much, there are so many stones in this thing. And I said, okay, mine's smaller. Okay. But then I got five of these rubies. Rubies, actual rubies. I said, wow. And they said, polish that up. That's a ruby. And I found five of these. Pretty exciting to find these. I said, you just gotta work it a little bit. It's not junk. Jesus said, take the wrappings, the dead clothes off. And what you're going to find underneath is a man who's alive. God's telling me right here, everyone's a treasure to him. There's not a human being on this planet, I don't care if they're Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, atheist, agnostic, God looks at every human being and said, I have life and love for you. Take off the dead clothes. Learn to look inside. I'm a treasure hunter. That's what I do. And I try to find the treasure in every single person. And I know this. You know what the treasure is? That you have a part of God created in His image. And I look forward to finding it in you. Every one of you. Are you kidding? You really found rubies? Yeah. And someone looked at me at the age of 19 when I went into that cave and I came out and they said, are you kidding? You're a Christian. God loves you. I said, yeah, He does. They said, you, You who hang upside down with your gravity inversion boots from the ceiling in your dorm room with an F-15 fighter mask and a 3-foot bong called Bertha. You. I know I can do that all in one breath. I used to not be able to do that in one breath. Because God took my grave clothes off and He found a man who was alive. I'm alive. Are you alive? And He said, you are a precious stone. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So He invites us to go into a cave this morning. Have you ever been in the cave? Would you stand with me, please? Oh, thank you. I'm going to invite you to, if you would, to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to picture the cave. The entrance is small, but if you get through to the other side, if you'll go through it, Jesus said, narrow is the gate, and few that go that leads to life. But wide is the road, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there that travel. Then He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if anyone wants to come in, I'm inviting you through me. Maybe this morning you've never done that. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And it's a simple prayer. And maybe you've gone into the cave, but you've wrapped yourself up again with dead clothes. You just said, you know what, I'm just going to get back into the junk that God took off of and out of my life. I've picked it back up. And God says, take it off. You're a hidden treasure. You're a valuable person to me. I love you. Right now, if you'll just pray this prayer with me, if that's you. Father God, I believe in you. I want to go in. I receive your invitation. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. Come into my life. And Father, will you take off the grave clothes and make me a new person, just like Lazarus. In Jesus' name.